the good liars.
The good liars?
This is boring.
Boring.
I will die standing in my boots.
Herschel, I got you some condoms.
What made everyone so weird and sad that they had to come out here?
Oh, God. Mr. President, welcome to the show.
We are the good liars, and we are going to tell the truth. Trust us. Welcome to the Good Liars Tell the Truth. I am Jason Selvig.
And I'm DeVram Stiefler, and we are the good liars.
And we may be the good liars, but on this show, we are going to tell you the truth. And today, we are going to tell you the truth about the NRA. The NRA recently held their annual convention in Dallas, Texas. And today, we're going to be talking about the NRA convention in Houston, Texas in 2022, which I had the distinct honor of attending. A very memorable weekend. We're gonna dive into that.
That's right. I was not able to attend this particular one, so I kind of am excited to hear a little bit about it from your perspective.
Because we didn't talk about it once.
Yeah, never came up.
Never came up. All right, so let's get into it. The truth about the experience at the NRA convention 2022. Thoughts and prayers.
Never fight if you can avoid it. But when you must fight, don't lose. And when nothing less than freedom is at stake, we fight. We're the longest standing civil rights organization in the U.S. Proud defenders of history's patriots. Protectors of the Second Amendment. We are the NRA, and the NRA is you.
Just a little bit of background on the NRA. I think people know what it is. It's the National Rifle Association of America. So it should be the NRAA, actually, now that I think about it.
Oh, interesting.
It's a gun rights advocacy group. Obviously, they're based in the United States, home of the Second Amendment, founded in 1871 to advance rifle marksmanship.
Okay.
But now the NRA is this prominent gun rights lobbying organization as we know it to exist today.
At the beginning, it was just about like shooting straight, like making sure you're hitting your targets. And that was their main goal.
I think so. It's what it sounds like. It's about rifle marksmanship. So like if you needed to know how to use your gun better, you wanted to learn how to use your gun straighter.
Okay.
You might belong to the NRA. But obviously it's like it's transformed. It's a prominent gun rights lobbying organization and they continue to teach firearm safety. I don't know if in your experience there, people were talking a lot about marksmanship or not.
They're like a couple of the booths that you saw there was some marksmanship stuff and they had like little simulators and things like that. But most of it was a crippling fear that the left was going to come and take the guns away.
According to the NRA, now it has nearly 5 million members. That's of December 2018 from this Wikipedia, which we love to use as one of our sources. From opensecrets.org here, it looks like congressional candidates have received 95.75% of donations from the NRA if they are Republicans. So it's just like a partisan thing here.
So 95% of the money that the NRA spends goes towards Republicans.
That's right. Shock.
Okay. Shocking.
You're an utter shock, I can tell. Mitt Romney of Utah received $13.6 million. Tom Tillis from North Carolina, $5.6 million. Down to number 10, Josh Hawley, receiving $1.3 million. So whether we like it or not, Jason, you're pumping your fist here because you are kind of a Josh Hawley lookalike. And that's him leaving the Capitol?
Yeah, exactly. Tried to do it. That was my impression. I don't have a good Josh Hawley impression, besides God.
For the listeners out there, Jason is doing a kind of a fist pump to the crowd. Famously, Josh Hawley, as he was kind of amping up the crowd pre-January 6th. Such an iconic moment. Such a moment to be proud of, if you're Josh Hawley.
Yeah, it was a great moment in American history.
So they say they're about gun safety. We've kind of covered that. They donate to Republicans. All of this to advocate for more guns and more gun loopholes, it seems like. So what are your thoughts about that?
Well, it seems, from my experience on the ground, and I've been to two of them now, that everyone there is about protecting the right to own guns more than the safety element of it. Because a lot of the stuff that they have there, the messaging is not really safe. It's like, come and take it.
You know, as you talked about, you've attended more than one NRA convention. I was at the second one. So I can attest that they're truly kind of like bizarre experiences, especially like coming from New York. You don't see a lot of guns. Guns aren't a big part of everyday life.
I'm giving you a little look right now, Devron, because I actually do have a story about guns from this past week. I went to Target.
Okay. In New York?
In Brooklyn. Went to Target, and as I was leaving, there was like an altercation between a guy walking my direction and a guy walking the opposite direction.
Oh, God.
And I got there when the guy, who was like an older gentleman, had like a piece of wood. It almost looked like a cane, but it wasn't a cane. And he threw it back at the other guy, and they were calling each other very bad words. The B word, the P word, lots of words. And one guy, the guy who threw the stick or cane or whatever at the other guy, was like, I got a gun on me. I'll shoot you right now. And then the guy who was like right by me holds up like a little man purse thing. And he says, I've got a gun right here. I'll shoot you.
Whoa.
And I got in the middle and was like, hey, guys, calm down. Everything's going to be fine. There's probably more that connects us than divides us. No, I walked fast and tried not to make eye contact with anybody there.
That would have worked, though.
To answer your question about the guns, like, hey, you know, it's not legal here. There are guns in New York, right?
There are guns in New York.
People say that to us at the NRA conventions, like Chicago, New York. Like,
right.
These guys, I believed them when they said they had guns. I think that the next step was one of them coming out.
Right. But it's different at the NRA convention, right? It's a huge gun fetish expo. It could be the same thing as like a porn convention or a comic book convention, or it's like it's all the glorification of whatever this thing is. But it's guns. But at the NRA convention, it's guns. So obviously it's a huge MAGA contingent, but I think the crowd is a little bit different. Would you agree?
You see a lot of MAGA hats, not the same as a Trump rally or anything like that. It's definitely a more MAGA crowd, but they're not there to worship Donald Trump. They're there to, I guess, worship guns.
Right.
Yeah.
Not to the same degree. Worshiping guns, exactly. There's just as many camo hats or more camo hats than there are MAGA hats. Just before we get into your specific experience at the 2022 NRA convention, did you have experience with guns growing up? You grew up in Louisville. Were guns a part of your life at all?
No, not at all. Not at all. Some of my family, like my cousins, my uncle, they're very still very much into guns, but never really came up to me. Nobody ever was like, there's never peer pressure for me to...
Well, what, to buy a gun?
Well, it's all like, come shoot guns with us or whatever.
Yeah, I think I probably did it like once or twice growing up in Colorado, but I didn't really have that strong of opinions on guns. I mean, my family didn't have guns until Columbine happened when I was in high school, and that was crazy. That was when I started to think about like, oh, who owns guns? How many guns are out there? Like, kids my age, like, have guns.
Right, right.
I think there might have even been gun racks, like shotguns, in the backs of trucks of people at my high school. I'm pretty sure you could just drive into the parking lot.
Oh, wow.
With a shotgun, because that was just like farm life. Anyway, so All that to say, that's the NRA. That's guns. That's kind of generally what these conventions are like. It's guns everywhere. It's gun worship. But why don't you get into what happened at the 2022 NRA convention?
Well, we were discussing whether or not we wanted to go. I know you couldn't go. And the Uvalde shooting had just happened in Texas, I think 3 hours from Houston or thereabouts.
Right.
And it was horrific. I think everyone remembers it was a horrific thing. And the NRA convention was going to happen. And people were like, are they going to cancel it? This seems like really in poor taste to have it here when this terrible thing happened. And no, they decided it was going to be a go. And they were kind of defiant about it. And it seemed like an important place to go and talk to people there. So made a last second decision the day before, basically, to buy tickets, get people to shoot.
Film. You have to say film in a situation like this.
Film. Yes.
Capture video footage.
And go to Houston, Texas. And I remember the night before, because it was so last minute, there was almost like an adrenaline for like making the decision and finally like coming to like, okay, we're going to go. And bought the tickets, went to bed. I had to wake up at 5:30 to get like a 7:30 flight or whatever it was. I did not sleep literally the entire night. And went to the airport, was like, oh, I can sleep on the flight. It's a 4-hour flight. No.
Yeah, who can sleep on flights anymore? I feel like after the age of like 25 or something, I used to just like pass out.
So the last 6 months have been like tough for you.
That's right.
Yeah. So I did not sleep at all. Did not sleep at all on the flight and just went out there and started filming right away.
Nothing to wake you up like just guns everywhere.
I know. And it wasn't just to set the scene. It was at the Houston Convention Center, which outside of it, there was a giant protest because this mass shooting just happened. So it was like a very charged scene. Like you had people yelling from both sides at people. And the one side that were yelling from the NRA, you just knew they all had guns on them. That's what was so crazy about them yelling, you know?
And you're talking about a protest that was basically, it was there because it was happening so soon after and so close by Uvalde. There aren't these protests at every NRA convention. This was one that had particular importance.
The NRA's previously scheduled convention began as planned in downtown Houston earlier today, despite calls for it to be postponed or canceled.
The main rally went on for several hours as groups such as Moms Demand Action, Black Lives Matter, and some education groups called on Republican leaders in Texas and in Congress to do something to try to prevent these deadly mass shootings from repeating themselves. Former President Donald Trump and Senator Ted Cruz are addressing the convention in person.
In the wake of these tragedies, the various gun control policies being pushed by the left would have done nothing to prevent the horror that took place. Absolutely nothing.
Well-regulated means well-regulated, which means you do not have the freedom to just walk around with whatever guns you want, anytime you want.
It was very tense. It was very tense. And then I saw a guy, an older gentleman, and he had a Confederate flag shirt that said, keep it flying, and with a big Confederate flag on it. And I interviewed him.
Just keep it flying.
Keep it flying? And why do you want to keep it flying?
Why would anybody want to erase our heritage?
Well, some people would say that that flag symbolizes racism. It symbolizes slavery. And they might have some valid points there.
That's their opinion. You know, they're welcome to their opinion if they want it.
Are you pro-slavery or against slavery?
I have no comment, but thank you for the interview.
I'll give you one more chance. Pro or anti-slavery?
No comment.
I'll give you one more opportunity to say if you're pro or anti-slavery.
No comment.
All right. Well, there you have it. No comment on the if you're in favor of slavery or not.
What a political answer. No comment. That's a tough question. Not willing to say anything I might regret right now. So I'll just go with no comment.
It seems like a pretty softball thing to ask.
Right. Wouldn't you just hope and think that if anybody wanted to be taken seriously as a gun safety advocate, that they might be like, you know what? Maybe the Confederate flag guy's got to go.
I see what you're saying. You're like the higher ups should be like.
Or just other people be like, that's not why we're here.
I think that's fair. And I will say, like, it wasn't that there were people of color there. Like, it was not, it was probably only 99.6% white people there. So, yeah.
That's probably about exactly correct. You talked to some more people. It seemed like there was no shortage of people who were excited to talk about guns. Again, aftermath of this horrible, horrible shooting and doing it right there. I wasn't there, but I guess I was just surprised that people showed just as much excitement as ever.
One thing that we've heard, and it's kind of like something you hear, like maybe you'd see like a tweet from somebody about this or something. And I think it was an Onion headline at one point that was like, you need to arm teachers. Like, that's the solution. And it was kind of like so ridiculous that no one ever thought that somebody would actually say that that is a actual solution for school shootings, is arming the teachers. But I talked to somebody, that was his solution.
You're not going to go into a building with all the teachers armed.
So you'd like the teachers to carry weapons?
Yeah, everybody should be allowed to carry a weapon, except maybe on an airplane.
Right. But so teachers should have a weapon on them in the classroom?
Yeah.
Yeah? Do you think that would be intimidating for the students to have their teacher with a gun?
Oh, I want him there.
And so teachers with guns, possible solution?
Yeah, I know it is. And they need to put to death all these people who are on death row.
You want to put them to death?
Put them down quickly.
You want to kill all those people?
Yeah, that's it. They ought to have public execution where everybody sees it.
You believe in public execution?
Old days. I'm all for public execution.
And what are your thoughts on abortion?
I'm against abortion. It's murder. That's why I got this shirt right here.
Wait. You said you're against abortion?
Yeah, it's murder.
You want to bring back public executions?
Yeah.
I just wanted to make sure I got the info there. Okay.
Public execution, everybody can see it. Bring your lunch and drink your favorite drink, and we'll watch execution. And people will say, well,
seems normal.
Huh?
Seems normal. Why not?
Yeah.
There's so much to unpack there. But he wanted to arm teachers and felt that was going to be safer for students. More guns.
Yes. And I talked to several people that thought this. And we talked about this. I think it's just like you mentioned that you had like a teacher that like beat you up in a basketball game or something like that.
I had a teacher. So I was playing intramural basketball, and me and a friend were proud of our very pesky defense. So we were like really getting lots of steals.
Okay.
And at one point I was about to steal the ball, and the teacher just wheeled back and just punched me.
punched you in the face.
In the middle of the game. And, you know.
That's not how I remember the story. I thought he, like, shoved you, but he actually.
No. It was like he put the ball in one hand and then just elbowed me or something.
You're changing your story here a little bit.
Yeah, I'm changing my story a little bit. I'm remembering more clearly. It was so obviously violent, and the reason that he'd done it, that the game stopped and he was ejected. it wasn't much different than a punch.
So he couldn't control his rage enough at one of his students that he like threw a punch or elbowed. I don't know. Story keeps changing here, but he did that. And we should give him a gun.
The same teacher, I believe. Don't quote me on this. This was secondhand information that he was later fired for assaulting a student.
Oh,
so
again,
again,
yeah,
nobody's perfect. Some people have anger problems. Guns in teachers' rooms, they're not trained military.
Okay.
In
yeah.
a lot of
that's true.
Instances, they're just regular people. Some of them suck.
I know.
And have anger problems.
Yeah. But also some of them are 78 years old.
Right.
And frail, and giving them a gun, is that going to be good? Just like you bring a gun and all the statistics are, if there's a gun someplace, the likelihood of somebody getting shot in that area like goes up, you know, a huge percentage.
Yeah. It's like if you walk into a room with 100 hot dogs in it, you might eat a hot dog. I'm just working it out in my head.
Okay.
There's a bunch of hot dogs somewhere, a hot dog might get eaten. If there aren't hot dogs, no one's going to eat a hot dog. I'm not sure it's one-to-one there, but I remember reading a stat. It's like 120.5 guns or something for every 100 people in the United States. Those are the ones people that are reported, I guess. There's probably a lot more. There's something like 500 million guns in the United States. And it is obviously by no coincidence that there are more mass shootings and gun deaths. Like, they're available.
That's not what my sources tell me at the NRA convention, DeVram, unfortunately.
Right, right.
Last thing I want to say about this guy, the turn to public execution, there's like a couple moments in videos where I like have genuine moments where like you see my face just like, what the fuck? Where do we get, how do we get fucking get here?
Yeah.
Him turning from like teachers have guns too, and you know what that was going to solve all the problems? Public executions. You grab something to eat, you grab your favorite drink.
Yeah.
Like, it's just like the way he said it was just like, and then you're going to go watch the new Avengers movie. You grab something to eat.
And it should be fun. Hell, why not? NRA convention.
Yeah, that was a guy I talked to. I feel like we missed two beats of that maybe were important too, but we can move on.
He said some wild, wild stuff.
Lay that pistol down, babe, lay that pistol down. Pistol packing mama, lay that pistol down.
Oh, not everyone there seemed so uninformed. There were some people who like were ready with some like actual information.
Statistics,
yeah.
They really hammered the details. They really hit the nail on the head with the statistics element of it all.
More people and more crime is committed and more people are killed with hammers every year than guns.
Look at the facts.
I will look that up. I don't think that's true, actually.
That is true.
In the United States, though?
Yes, sir. That is true. Look it up. It's on. You can Google it. It's true. It's actually true.
So the number of murder victims and the weapons used. Okay, number one, handguns, 8,029. Number two, firearms, type not stated, 4,863. Number three, knives or cutting instruments, personal weapons, fists, feet, then rifles at 455, then blunt objects, clubs, hammers, 393. The 300, the hammers, that stat is just wrong.
Back to your question, Second Amendment is still my right and it's still important to me.
It's good to talk to someone who really gets it, though.
Yes.
Some people are all out there being wild talking about public executions and all that stuff. But this guy was like a little more of a numbers guy.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, he seemed like a nice enough guy, but he his numbers were wrong.
Right.
And at the end of the interview, I asked him, I said, now that you've seen these stats, because, you know, in between that and the video, I look up a website and I don't just find the first website. I'm like, let's find this website together and see which one we both agree. Like, this is going to be statistics that we both trust. And he was like, I can't look at an article from CNN. I can't look there. And then we like found the government stats or whatever it was. And then, so after he saw that, the website that he had picked with me to find this information, he said, I said, are you still going to tell people this from now on, now that you know it's not true? And he's like, well, a friend of mine told it to me years ago. He's an EMT. So yeah, I'm going to still tell people that.
That must be a good friend. That's a trusted friend.
Yeah. But after this, like you could tell, like the sun's kind of setting at this point. A very important thing happened. Our good friend, Peter Richardson, who we've mentioned before, who films with us at a lot of these places, he was there and my back was killing me. Like I said, I hadn't slept now in whatever it would be 36 hours or something. My back was hurting, my lower back. He was like, you want me to crack your back? And I said, yes, please. He cracked my back and it was like the most cracks I'd ever had. And immediately my lower back felt better.
A lot of stuff that I don't like missing out. It's something I hate to do is miss out. And I've heard about this back crack 45 times now.
Felt so good.
And I'm sad I wasn't there. Do you
it's
recall
like a great
your
moment.
Other best back crack?
I do. It was at Parks Casino outside Philadelphia also in 2022.
Yeah.
I think we were driving my car and I was driving the whole time. We drove all the way to like a Ted Cruz thing in the middle of Pennsylvania and then drove another thing for a guy who was running for governor. And then we went and ate at this casino, and my back was really hurting, and you cracked my back, and it was a wonderful back crack. It was a wonderful one, and I thank you for that. I don't know whose was better. Both of them were memorable and great. Anyway, after all those interviews, we tried to go to sleep because I was so tired. Laid down. I could not fall asleep again.
Oh, buddy. Oh.
I probably got 2 hours of sleep.
Nothing worse than being tired.
Exactly. Thank you. Thank you. And the next morning, we decided we were going to go inside. We were going to go inside the convention. We kind of like not gone inside the convention floor the first day, maybe like for a very short amount of time. And I thought it would be fun to share some of the cool shirts that I saw inside. You want to read it out loud?
Gunaholic. It looks like a black shirt folded up on a table here. It says Gunaholic with a bunch of different kinds of guns under it.
I'm a gunaholic.
And then it says on the road to recovery. Then it says just kidding. I'm on the way to the gun shop. What a weird shirt with so many different steps and stages. I'm a gunaholic. So that's adding a holic to the end of something is usually like bad.
It's a bad thing.
But then it's like, I'm in recovery. Oh, just kidding. I'm going to buy more. Okay.
Here's another one.
It says, the problem is not guns, and there's two pistols on either side. It's hearts without God, homes without discipline, schools without prayer, courts without justice.
So if you wanted to stop the mass shootings, you need to bring the belt out, is what I'm hearing from that.
Right. You need more discipline, more prayer.
Also some celebrities there, some celebrity sightings. I actually got my picture taken with a celebrity. Do you know who this is?
Chuck Liddell. That might be news to me. I don't remember hearing about this. Chuck Liddell was at the gun convention. I thought he was a fighter. Like, I would think he would not like guns. If you're a guy who fights with his fists and feet, if you'd think guns are unfair.
I also want to share, here at the NRA convention, it's not just guns, okay? It's not just brawn.
It's not just for tough guys. Is that what you're saying?
Exactly. It's not just brawn. It's also beauty. There's the Concealed Carry Fashion Show.
Oh, wow.
Which was a Saturday at 6 p.m. You can strut your stuff while concealing a deadly weapon, which was very funny. This is very funny. So, sadly, we left on Saturday before the Miss Concealed Carry fashion show. Would have loved to go. Loved to go. $25, though. Kind of steep. So we have, on this Saturday when we're going around, there was a little bit of an altercation that happened.
Oh, no.
I talked to some of the people at Newsmax.
Oh, yikes.
And I interviewed one of the, I think he was an opinion host.
You interviewed the interviewer.
I interviewed the interviewer. I think he kind of got caught stumbling over himself when I was asking him about talking about election lies and what he would say on air versus what Trump says. And because he wanted to like back Trump, but he wouldn't. It wasn't really an altercation. He was just kind of like, oh, he's kind of stumbling over his words. He couldn't answer some of these questions. So that happens. And we were kind of like, let's get away from here. So we went upstairs. And upstairs, it was the actual annual meeting. And it's funny. I have this right here. It's a booklet.
He's getting something he's got here. Oh, wow. The annual meeting of members. Is that a pamphlet or a booklet?
It was the minutes from it or something. To get into this, I hate to say, and you are part of this problem too, DeVron.
Mm-hmm.
We had to become NRA members.
That's right. $30, you get a year of membership, and you'll become a better marksman.
Yeah, and you get a free membership to Gun and Knife magazine or something.
Also, why knives? There's always knives at these things. It's just a different, just ways to hurt people.
It's a different way to kill someone, yeah. So go upstairs after this Newsmax interview. The NRA president, Wayne LaPierre, is just there on stage talking to a room that is more than half empty of NRA members who are going up one by one and speaking into a microphone about issues and airing their grievances.
And I've talked to you about this before, airing their grievances, exactly. So it would be people saying like, oh, we this or that wasn't repaired in this building, like kind of like low-level complaints.
So we go in there after not knowing this was even happening, seeing that Wayne LaPierre is up there, and then listening to what the people were saying. And a lot of people were very critical of Wayne LaPierre and wanting new leadership, things like that. And then started thinking, and then I started texting you because you couldn't be there, but we were still texting. And I was like, hey, there's a microphone here. I think I can get up and speak. And we were texting back and forth about like, what's a funny thing to do? Like, you know, we've done so many of these things in the past where it's like just like interrupting and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have like, it could be a very funny like 20 seconds. But here it seemed like, oh, there's an opportunity where you can have your 3 minutes and say whatever you want to say.
Right, right. And I don't want to set it up with too much fanfare, but, you know, imagining this opportunity to speak kind of directly to Wayne LaPierre, there was this shooting, one of the most tragic shootings that's ever happened in this country. Is so many have been so horrible, but this was at like an elementary school, and so many kids had died, and this was happening just days later, just hours away from it. And I think like you and me and a big part of the country wanted to kind of talk to Wayne LaPierre and the NRA and all these people who are so obsessed with guns. So it all kind of like came together in this moment, which I think is pretty interesting.
The chair recognizes the gentleman at microphone 1A.
Thank you. My name is Jason Selvig, and I'm from West Palm Beach, Florida. And I would like to say that I am sick and tired of the left-wing media, and frankly, people in this room today, spreading misinformation about Wayne LaPierre. Whenever there's a mass shooting, they all say that Wayne LaPierre isn't doing enough to stop these mass shootings, and even implying that Wayne LaPierre has played a part in making it easier for these shooters to get guns, to get weapons. You heard it after Las Vegas. You heard it after Pulse nightclub in Orlando. You heard it after Columbine. You heard it after Parkland. You heard it after Virginia Tech. You heard it after Sandy Hook. You heard it after El Paso. You heard it after Buffalo. You kept hearing that Wayne LaPierre isn't doing enough, and frankly, that's not true. The NRA, under Wayne LaPierre's leadership, has provided thoughts and prayers to the victims and their families. And maybe these mass shootings would stop happening if we all thought a little bit more and we prayed a little bit more. So I'm asking everyone in this room to think, to pray. Give your thoughts and your prayers and your thoughts and your prayers and your prayers and your thoughts. And if we give enough of these thoughts and these prayers, these mass shootings will stop. So I want to thank you, Wayne LaPierre, for all your thoughts and all your prayers. Thank you.
I haven't watched that in a long time, and I got nervous watching it. Like,
it's great.
I'm watching yourself, but also just like watching, like it was like a very, you know, this feeling probably better than you're the only other person I know that knows this feeling of like, just like the adrenaline that's going and like feeling your heart pumping out of your chest when you're doing something.
Also, without like much preparation, like you said, kind of writing it in the few minutes before.
It was nerve wracking. I mean, glad I did it. There was a moment where I was like, I don't need to do this. I just got into like a little bit of a thing with somebody. I was like, My flight's in 4 hours. I don't need this. I don't need to do anything here.
Yeah, but you had the extra couple of minutes. You still made your flight.
Yeah, that's true. That was a very tiresome experience.
Yeah.
I don't want you to tell anything but the truth.
I swear by Almighty God.
I'm telling you the truth.
The whole truth.
Please, God, tell us what is true. And what is the truth today?
For a moment of truth here, should we have a moment of truth about guns?
Let's do it. Let's have a moment of truth, Tyrone.
You know, after thinking about the NRA convention, hearing what you had to say, hearing stories from the one that I missed and thinking about the one that I went to, I've been thinking that, you know, the truth about guns is that they're kind of fun to fire. You know what I mean? It's fun to like shoot at a target. It's fun to, but it gets a lot dicier when you give it any more thought than that. You find out that, you know, there are about 1.3 guns for every person in the United States. That's way too many. It's the highest rate in the world. And then you realize that we're also the country with the most mass shootings in the world. And, you know, people talk about mental health or people say automobiles are dangerous. Why don't we ban those? But that's obvious. That's a dumb thing to say. People need cars to get places. It's the guns. It just is. It's the guns. Guns are everywhere. They exist to hurt people. That's why they exist. And we have them everywhere. And the truth is that it's not a coincidence that we have all these guns and all these gun deaths. So the truth is that our listeners from the NRA might not like to hear it. I'm sure we have lots of members of the NRA that listen to our podcast. They might not like to hear it. But it's the guns. Guns kill people. So thoughts and prayers to the government to do something about these guns, which means, unfortunately, that the truth is that probably nothing will happen.
Ay, ay, ay. That is a truth and a sad truth. I'm probably going to get shot and killed by a gun. I don't know if I had to guess. Anyway, thank you for that moment of truth, DeVrom. That does it for this episode of The Good Liars Tell the Truth. The truth about the NRA convention in Houston, Texas. Wow, DeVrom, that was a heavy one. Kind of a trip down memory lane. I hadn't thought about it in a little bit. So, but yeah, I'm glad we dove into that. And
Join us for our bonus episode on Hero at herohero.co/thegoodliars. Right, we're going to talk a little more about something important on there.
Yeah, some breaking news max. Also, we've got some live shows coming up in Washington, D.C. on May 23rd, Nashville, Tennessee on June 6th, Los Angeles, California, June 25th, and San Francisco, California on June 26th. You can get the tickets at goodliars.com. If you're wondering what the live show is, it's called Good Liars Fix America. We've basically realized that all this filming we've done over the last decade is actually research, and we've actually researched all these divisive issues in America, and we're using that research to solve some of America's biggest problems. Plus, we're going to see never-before-seen videos and things like that at the show. It's a fun live comedy show. You can get the tickets at goodliars.com. But before we end this episode of The Good Liars Tell the Truth, Devon, I have to ask you a question. I need you to tell me the truth here. Do you have any words of wisdom?
Your self-worth is determined by you. You don't have to depend on someone else telling you who you are.
That's stupid. Ugh, you're worthless for saying that to him.
Well, maybe you should be telling that to Beyonce, who said
No, I take it back. I don't know. Queen B, I'm so sorry. All right, that does it for The Good Liars Tell the Truth. We'll see you next time. Apologies to Beyonce. I did not mean that.
No, but you said it.